Sure, it's nice having Trevor back. Waiting for another one of our band members to make it back after she recovers. But maybe you might be our next band member. So hope that if you're interested, you'll talk with our fabulous music director. If you're a percussionist, I hear God calling you this moment, and I hope you respond to that call. All right, so here we are, third Sunday of Easter. We are still in the Easter season, rejoicing in all that that brings us. Today, some of you that are regulars and members should have received a letter. Some of you may have received it by mail. If you did not get a letter as you walked in, chances are there's one with your name on it in the narthex, and hope that you'll pick that up. We hope to pass the majority of those out today so that we don't have to use postage on it and mail it to you this week. As I mentioned last week when we gathered, we are in the midst of a discussion on stewardship. What does it mean to be stewards? To care for that which does not actually belong to us. We've been celebrating Earth Week, and inevitably, as we ask ourselves how we can be more in touch with the Earth, we ask ourselves how we can be better protectors of the Earth, how we can be better caregivers of the Earth. I believe that our generations now, perhaps, focus more on awareness of the Earth, of stewardship, perhaps are more conscious of what we do to the Earth than ever before. Now, they may also be because we are the generations that have done the most damage to the Earth. And so it is upon us to begin to take into our consciousness how it is that we relate to this Earth that we live upon, we share existence with, and ultimately we are responsible for caring for. It's going to take a while for this to really stick in our minds that we don't own land. We're very boundary and border-driven people. But as our awareness increases, I believe that we will truly come to an understanding that we are just caregivers, important caregivers, but we are stewards, responsible for the Earth, and we ourselves cannot and do not own it. As we continue this conversation, you will no doubt note that stewardship extends beyond care of the Earth, that which we don't own, to other aspects of caring for things that are not ours alone. If you haven't done it already, don't do it now, but later today, you can open up that envelope. I want to ask you to meditate upon it and consider how you might be able to pledge your time, your talents, and your gifts to Fairview Community Church as we continue to stay the course towards our dreams, goals, and our ministry in our community. So, with stewardship on the brain, let us open our hearts that we might hear a word of truth in the scripture from the gospel according to Luke. So, Roxanne, will you be so kind as to lead us in this morning's scripture?
Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an account of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes. So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, "How much do you owe my master?" He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil." He said to him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, "And how much do you owe?" He replied, 100 containers of wheat." He said to him, "Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth.
Thank you, Roxy. I love the way you read that. You could see her facial expression as she got to the part that didn't make any sense. Like, what? This doesn't make sense. Dishonest, huh? We're going to unpack that a little for you, because I could tell you were having problems with this. This is what the scripture really says. Whoever is faithful in very little is faithful also in much. This is a story that has to do with money. But don't be confused, this is not a story about money. This is a story about stewardship. Jesus always tells parables that when looked at upon first glance seem to be about one thing, but when examined deeper are actually about our spiritual relationship with God and how we live in community in God's realm. So, Jesus begins this story telling his disciples about the dishonest manager. Now, the word manager is a pretty good translation for the Greek word oikonomos, but unfortunately, this English translation doesn't allow us to make the connections that the Greek word does. Oikonomos, does it sound like a word that we're familiar with in English? Any guesses? Economics, economy, excellent. Good guess. Some of you may have taken Greek and know that. I think Bill did. The word oikonomos is derived from the Greek word oikos, which means house, and the verb nomein, which means to manage or to oversee. So the oikonomos is the person who is in charge, but not the owner. Another word we often use to translate oikonomos is steward. So the word economy has the same root word as the word stewards or managers. One who cares for or oversees the household, organization, maybe even a business, but not the one who owns it. Obviously, in our culture, economy deals with money. Clearly, in this parable, the oikonomos was in charge of money and managing the affairs of the household. But even as the story has to do with literal care of funds, the story is actually an allegory. As Jesus goes on to explain in verse 10 and following, stewardship is about so much more than money. It's about being faithful to care for that which isn't ours. The story itself, as Roxy so demonstrated, leaves us a little bit uneasy. This steward is actually commended. You could see her tripping on that word. Did I read that right? Commended? For wheeling and dealing. The master of the household left him in charge of the property, his goods, his finances, but he did a horrible job at it. So then the master accuses him of doing this lousy job and tells him that you're going to get fired. So the oikonomos, before he's actually fired, plays let's make a deal because he knows what's coming. And inevitably, he decides that he's going to smooth things over with those people who owe the owner this debt by cutting them breaks so he can be friends with them. And so it happens that right when we expect the owner to be angry with him and call him out on it, the owner does exactly what we don't expect. The owner is pleased. He got people to pay up, even though they didn't pay up everything they owed. Now, the response of the owner is not the response that the oikonomos expected, not the response that Roxy expected, not the response that all of us expected. This guy figured he was headed towards the unemployment line. All he was really trying to do was make friends so that when he was fired, he'd have somebody to go to. But the owner appreciated his actions, not what we anticipated at the result of this bargaining. And so we grapple with this passage. How do we make sense of it? It makes us uncomfortable. This doesn't seem like justice. No, this guy should pay, we say to ourselves. He wasn't a very good steward. He lost the owner 50 jugs of oil and 20 containers of wheat. He should have been angry with him. We're a little angry, aren't we? Not pleased with his shrewdness. So we sit and we squirm and we wonder why Jesus would tell us this story. Shouldn't Jesus be telling us a story about the honest manager? Or the one that didn't actually lose goods, but gained them? Or maybe the story about the generous manager, or the manager that brought in lots of money. But this isn't the kind of manager that we want. No. Come on, in this economy, you can't just be giving things away, please. But we know. If we know anything about Jesus, we know that Jesus likes to make us uncomfortable. Doesn't he? He's always flipping the world upside down on us and leaving us in a state of flux. He repeatedly challenges us to rethink our worldview. And to tell you the truth, that makes us kind of nervous. So I, alongside Roxy, scratched my head trying to make heads or tails of this. I mean, I'm preaching a stewardship sermon here, trying to call us all to accountability and responsibility, and here's this dishonest guy who's rewarded for acting outside of protocol. It doesn't seem like the model for good behavior. But then I began to think about the story from the perspective of the owner. The owner had loans out that had become outstanding. The manager of his portfolio hadn't done a very good job at keeping a total of those accounts. So the owner was set to pull that Donald Trump and drop the words that no one wants to hear. And to tell you the truth, no one really wants to say, you're fired. Well, the steward, having realized that he'd done a poor job, cut deals with those guys only with his own self-interest in mind. But the owner, it's kind of like those credit card companies. They figure they're already at a loss, so whatever they get back is better than nothing. So I think that's exactly what this owner thought. He gained because he'd already written off the loss, blaming it on the bad manager. But when the steward actually managed to make good on something, he was pleased. So now, not only was he repaid a portion for what he had lost, the people were indebted to him, felt better, felt relieved about having accomplished something, and the steward himself had actually done at least a portion of the job he was asked to do. The owner, therefore, offered grace all around. The steward redeemed some of which was lost, and the people were happy. So I began to wonder if this story is more about forgiveness, grace, and happiness alongside what it means to be a steward. Where once the steward was dishonest, once a failure, now he had done something that was beneficial for everyone. Maybe stewardship is about caring for everyone. Granted, the manager didn't produce exactly what the owner had expected of him, but eventually he was able to produce something where once there was nothing. And at the end of the story, everyone is happy. Justice wasn't served the way we interpret justice, but perhaps the greater whole was cared for. The household and all that are in relationship to it was served and benefited. By our standards, of course, the best stewards are the ones who manage the property well, who are on top of the debts, the ones who bring in interest and reel in profits. But by Jesus' standards, a good steward is one who, even after failing at his or her job, is able to start again, make good, and serve both debtor and indebted. Interesting thought here. Stewardship. So I wonder how it is that we measure up as stewards. Are we perfect at caring for that which we've been entrusted? Or are we on the verge of getting fired? My guess is that we're somewhere in the middle of it. Some of us are doing a ho-hum job. Not all of us, for sure. Others are excelling at caring. But I bet that all of us could be better okonomoi. So when it comes to the earth, I'm afraid that if we were called into God's proverbial office, we should expect to be handed a pink slip. Because as a whole, we're not doing too good. What does that tell us then? Should we try and cut deals with the environment and everyone in it? I don't think that's the best way to deal with what we've been entrusted. But I do think that we absolutely must begin to make an effort to make good on that which we've been asked to care for. Because let's face it, folks, we've already screwed up. There are certain things we just can't undo. As collective stewards, we've made bad choices. We've not taken into concern the value of the things we've been entrusted. It's time that we woke up like that shrewd steward and try to make good. Now, we're probably not going to get everything back to the way it was when we were first commissioned with caring for God's oikos. Unfortunately, our human imprint is hard to erase, but we can make changes and attempt to return, renegotiate, and replace some of which has been lost because we hadn't kept a better eye on it. Incidentally, another word that we're quite familiar with shares the same root as oikonomos, oikologia, study of the house, ecology. Ecology is the study of the distribution and abundance of organisms and their interactions with their environment. So as we study our house, the earth, we study the way we, the stewards of this house, the oikonomoi, care for it. What Jesus tells us is that if we're capable of caring for the little things in which we've been entrusted, then we'll be able to care for the larger things. And we have been entrusted with the management of God's house. Whoever is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. At the macro level, God's house is this earth. And at the micro level, God's house is, well, you're sitting in it, this church. So how are you caring for that which you've been entrusted? Here's the thing. If we can show that we can care for the little things, like this little church we've been entrusted with, certainly we'll prove that we're capable of caring for the big things. We are a little church, but we have been entrusted to care for this church. So we have to ask the question, what kind of stewards have we been? And what kind of stewards will we be? The thing I like about this story is that Jesus gives us an opportunity to start over again. Whether we've been good stewards or whether we're a little lacking, we have an opportunity to make good on our caring. We have an opportunity to be better managers, protectors, better at flourishing God's house. So how then are you going to do that? Is it by contributing to the funds of the oikos? Our household needs money to run. Now, I remember I told you that this parable isn't really about money. It's not. It's about giving of ourselves so that we can care for that which we've been entrusted. However, unfortunately, whether we like it or not, our society has placed a large value on money. In many ways, it becomes an extension of ourselves, or at least it's perceived that way. And so the value that we give it is expressed in the way we use it. Are we putting our money into fancy cars, into our houses, into our lattes or our cocktails? Do we invest as much into God's house as we do on going to the movies or out to dinner? What do we value, and how do we express our values? At this micro level, we know what it costs to care for this particular house of God. It's unfortunate, but in our society, folks, we have to do certain things. We need to have funds in order to make our ministry possible. So the question becomes, how do we care for the house of God? Does it compare to the other things that we value? How much time do we give it? How much effort do we put into this ministry? How much do we value this particular church in our lives, in our community? If we're willing to spend $4 a day on coffee, are we willing to give that same amount to our church? Or what does it say about us if we value coffee over the house of God? How much of ourselves are we willing to invest into stewardship of God's house? That's the question. Whoever is faithful in little is also faithful in very much. See, it's not that we have to give away everything we own, but we can be faithful in the little bit that we do have. Our church is clearly an aspect of God's house, but the way we run it, the way we care for it, shows our dedication to the larger oikos. We can make an impact with this little church. We already know that. We've seen it manifested. We know that our community needs us. And so we're the ones who are called to take care of this ministry. So caring for Fairview Community Church gives us an opportunity to practice stewardship. In fact, as we care for this community, we are also growing our faith, strengthening ourselves and our ability to act as good managers or stewards of the household. Well, Fairview, we have been good housekeepers, but we need to continue to keep house. I thought I'd take this opportunity to look back and reflect on how far we've come. I mean, just in the small time that I've been with you, I've seen how you have been faithful in small things. You've grown this church in a variety of ways. I've seen how your faith has grown. You've pushed boundaries you probably didn't know you were going to push. It was your faithful stewardship of this church that helped us to grow spiritually and to serve our community in ways that you may have never imagined. As we continue with good housekeeping, we'll probably be surprised at the new ways in which we can give and receive gifts from our faith. After all, friends, who would have thought that Fairview Community Church, this little congregation, would be one of the leading faith communities in Orange County when it comes to equal rights? Who would have thought that? And yet we are. Ask the community, and they know our names, they know who we are, and they know that you all pushed your faith, pushed your boundaries in order to open wide the church doors. And isn't it wonderful that we've chosen to use land that has been made fallow up until this point to serve as common grounds, that we might share our space with our interfaith friends and literally break ground together to reap the fruits of our faith in the garden that will serve the hungry in our community? This will demonstrate our dedication to sustainable living and will likewise remind us that we are stewards of God's great earth. We grow in small steps. We know that. And steps and growth are not always numerical. But as we grow in our faith, we realize that even in small ways, we're serving in big ways. Sometimes we need to pause and acknowledge how we've grown, to look at our good housekeeping, so that we can look forward to where we're going. As we do our part to care for God's house, we'll find that more hands will help along the way. I have faith that they will. For as we demonstrate our faithfulness in the small stuff, we're going to be ready to live our faith out when it comes to that big stuff that will come to us. So it is, friends, that we are asked to do our part now, to give what little we can to the house of God that we know and love, that as we give of ourselves, our faith too will grow. So the question is, how will you give? Next week we will gather and you'll be asked to pledge yourself to Fairview Community Church and the ministry that we do here for each other and for our larger community. I hope that you'll consider the different ways you can care for God's house. Writing a check is one way, but friends, it is not the only way. How will you give of your time? How will you give of your energy? How will you give of your love? How will you give the gifts that I know you have to God's house, Fairview Community Church? For it's up to us to be good housekeepers. God needs faithful stewards to carry out and manage and care for the ministry of God's house. Amen.